Okay, so you see a case name like State v. Hayes, and you think 2013, it doesn't exactly sound like a thriller, right? But seriously, this Minnesota Supreme Court case, it shows how the system interprets the actual words of the law, and when it's about something as serious as felony murder, well, that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And what m makes this whole deep dive into State v. Hayes really worth it is seeing how a murder conviction can get completely reversed just because of how they read a statute about drive-by shooting.
Exactly. And to get into all of this, we've got a bunch of material we've been looking at. We've got some initial thoughts on breaking down the case. Then there's this detailed analysis that tries to pick apart the difficult parts, a legal brief that sets out all the arguments, and then just a whole lot of text. Our aim here is to put it all together for you so we can understand why the felony murder charge didn't stick in this case and what we can learn about how the law is interpreted. So let's set the scene. What happened that brought this case to court?
Well, it all goes back to September 2010 in Minneapolis. Christopher James Hayes was in the front seat of a car. Deontay Durande was in the back. And a dispute happened apparently over marijuana. And Hayes shot and killed Durande, a terrible thing.
And the details of the shooting itself are really important for understanding the legal arguments, right?
Exactly. The medical evidence showed that the shot was fired at close range, basically, as Durande was getting out of the same car Hayes was in.
So they were both in or near the same car.
Right now, this is where it gets complicated legally. At the trial, the jury found Hayes guilty of two charges: first-degree felony murder, with the underlying felony being a drive-by shooting, and second-degree intentional murder.
So a double conviction. So what was the issue that led to the appeal and then to the felony murder charge being reversed? That's what we need to figure out.
The big question the Minnesota Supreme Court had to think about was why the felony murder conviction was overturned, even though the jury had said he was guilty. And the answer is in the legal definition of the crime that was supposed to be the underlying felony. A drive-by shooting, Minnesota's felony murder statute, requires that the underlying felony has to be a drive-by shooting, as defined in
Oh,
Minnesota statutes, Section 609.66, Subdivision 1A. Think of a statute like a written law passed by the legislature, and this particular one had some very specific parts.
yeah. Okay, so to understand this, we need to look at the details of that law. What does Subdivision 1A say exactly?
So let's break down the key elements of Subdivision 1.1. First, it says the person committing the act has to have been in or just gotten out of a motor vehicle.
Okay.
Second, they have to have recklessly discharged a firearm. And now this third element, this is really important, the one that the whole case depends on. The firearm has to have been discharged at or toward another motor vehicle or a building.
At or toward another motor vehicle or a building. That phrase, another motor vehicle, that's what stands out.
Yeah, and it's the key to how the Minnesota Supreme Court reasoned. Now, it's important to know about Subdivision 1EB, too. This part of the law is about increasing the penalties if someone gets hurt or killed because of a violation of this subdivision, meaning as a direct result of a drive-by shooting as it's defined in 1A.
So 1A is all about defining what a drive-by shooting is legally. And then 1EB says what happens if that act as it's defined leads to someone getting hurt or killed.
Exactly. You got it. With that in mind, we can look at how the Minnesota Supreme Court decided to reverse the felony murder conviction. Their main finding was that the drive-by shooting statute, as defined in 1A, requires that the firearm be discharged at or toward another vehicle or a building in the case with Hayes and Durande. This just didn't happen. Hayes shot someone who was inside or leaving the same vehicle he was in. It wasn't aimed at another vehicle or a building.
So the target of the gunfire was the key.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough that a gun was fired recklessly from a car. The law said what the gunfire had to be aimed at.
Right. The court completely rejected the state's argument that shooting at a person who is in the vehicle should meet the requirements of the statute. They stuck to the wording at or toward another motor vehicle or a building.
And that's where the difference between 1A and 1B that you talked about before becomes important, right?
Absolutely. The court made a clear distinction between what's needed to define the crime itself in 1A and the things that can lead to a harsher sentence, which is in 1ED. They even use a helpful analogy we found. You can't bootstrap enhancement into offense elements. It's like this: you can't take a consequence that might increase a penalty and use it to say that the initial crime, as it's defined, even happened if its core elements weren't there.
That analogy makes it clearer. You can't use the fact that Duran died, which would mean a harsher penalty under 1EB if there was a drive-by shooting, to argue that a drive-by shooting happened as defined by 1A when the basic element of shooting at another vehicle wasn't there.
Exactly, and the court said this clearly in their ruling. Subdivision 1B is ambiguous, better interpreted as sentence enhancement. They weren't saying that 1EB didn't matter, but that its purpose was to increase the punishment for a crime that had already been proven based on what 1A said.
So the whole reversal came down to how they read those three words, another motor vehicle, because Hayes shot someone in the same vehicle. The basic crime of drive-by shooting, as the law defines it, just didn't happen.
That's it. The court focused on the plain meaning of the words in the statute. So what are the key things you should take away from this deep dive into State v. Hayes?
I think the most important takeaway is this idea of strict statutory interpretation courts, especially in criminal cases where someone's freedom is at stake. They often stick very closely to the exact words that lawmakers used, even if the outcome seems unexpected or even unfair to some. The court's main focus is on what the law actually says, not on what it might have meant to say, or a broader interpretation.
Right. It shows the crucial difference between the specific things that have to be proven to show a crime happened and the other factors that might be considered when a judge or jury is deciding on the punishment. Those are separate legal concepts.
And there's a message here for the people who write our laws right. The importance of being precise and not leaving any room for confusion when they write laws, that single word, another, in this statute, had a big impact leading to the reversal of a murder conviction.
It shows how even small details in legal language can have big consequences in real life. And for you listening, it shows that understanding how courts interpret statutes is key to understanding the law itself. It's not just about the general idea of a law, but about how courts actually read, analyze, and apply those specific words in practice.
Exactly. This case wasn't about whether Christopher Hayes committed a terrible crime. The jury still found him guilty of second-degree intentional murder. The legal fight and the Supreme Court's decision was all about whether his actions met the very specific requirements for felony murder based on drive-by shooting as defined by Minnesota law.
So as we finish up this deep dive into State v. Hayes, the main lesson is the huge importance of the exact language used in criminal statutes. This case shows the difference between defining what a crime is and things that can make the punishment worse, and how even a small word can be the deciding factor in a big legal outcome.
This case leaves you with a question to think about. How often do the specific words of our laws, often overlooked by most of us, shape our understanding of justice and the real consequences of what we do? It's definitely something to consider as you deal with legal issues in the future.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into State v. Hayes.
It was great being here.
Until next time.
See.